Being the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, and the chapter is number 25, Characteristics of King Puranjana. Today's verse is number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad Richchayagatam. Tatra dadarsha pramadotamam brityayar dashabir ayantim ekaika shata nayakai yadrichayagatam tatra Dadarsha Pramadottamam Brityaya Dashabir Ayantim Ekaika Shata Nayakai. Please chant. Pramadottamam Brityaya dashavir ayantim ekaika shatanayakai yadrichyagatam tatra dadarsha pramadottamam Brityaya dashavir ayantim Akaika Shatanayakai Yadrichayagatam Tatra Dadarsha Pramadottamam Brityaya Dashabir Ayantim Akaika Shatanayakai Ayantim Ekaika Shatanayakai. Ladies, Yadrichayagatam Tatra Dadarsha Pramadottamam Brityayar dashabir ayantim ekaika shatanayakai yadrichayagatam tatra dadarsha pramadottamam Brityayar dashabir ayantim Ekaika Shatanayakai. Anyone else like to chant? Word for word. Yadrichchaya. All of a sudden, without engagement, Agatam arrived. Tatra, there. Dadarsha, he saw. Pramada, one woman. Uttamam, very beautiful. Brityai, surrounded by servants. Dashabhi, 10. Ayantim, coming forward. Eka, each one of them, Shata of hundreds. Nayakai, the leaders. Translation, if you could kindly respond. While wandering here and there, in that wonderful garden, King Paranjan suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. Purport by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The body has already been compared to a beautiful garden. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened, and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. In youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. The intelligence influences the mind, and the mind controls the 10 senses. 5 of these senses gather knowledge, and 5 work directly. Each sense has many desires to be fulfilled. This is the position of the body and the owner of the body, Puranjan, who is within the body. Janadapi suniche na tadariva sahishnuna umanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamaiva kivalam klo nastyeva 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 gatiranyatha jaya sri krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. I'd like to publicly say that I very much enjoyed yesterday's class by Shukadev Prabhu, which I heard over the internet. I very much liked his style and the content, and I want to thank him for being a good representative of his spiritual master. In the first word of today's verse, Yad Richchaya, all of a sudden without engagement. So, we as devotees, we should be very much concerned that not a single moment is wasted without engagement in Krishna consciousness. And this is explained by Lord Chaitanya later on, in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, avyarta kalatvam. There are, I think, 9 symptoms of one who is on the threshold of love of Godhead, the bhava stage. And one of those is of avyarta kalatvam, concern that time is not being wasted. We heard recently, last Sunday, in the Bhagavad Gita Mahayagya, and Krishna explains that he is time. and time, he said, I am coming to destroy everyone. So that time factor, one of the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, eternal time. Time, of course, is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world, but here in the material world, the presence of time is all pervasive. Everything is under the jurisdiction of time. This class, when you're cooking, and especially we learned in Canto 2, both by rising and the setting of the sun, the duration of everyone's life is being diminished. A devotee knows, I have only so much time in this body. I must make the best use of this bad bargain and use every conceivable second to serve Krishna. Because that is the whole purpose of human life. When you come to Krishna consciousness, the decision that you make is that, yes, now that I understand what is my goal, I do not want to waste one moment. Before, like we see this so many times, the young children, they're going to college and you ask them, even they're in college, what do you want to do? I don't know. They have no idea what they want to do. They're in college. Even after 4 years of college, you ask them, so what do you want to do? I don't know. So that's the problem with material life. That and Krishna explains this in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, that someone who is not Krishna consciousness, then what their mind is many-branched. It's all over the place. As was mentioned in the purport, the senses, each of the senses has so many desires. So when someone is not in Krishna consciousness, then so many things are pulling them, forcing them. But when you're in Krishna consciousness, ekeha kuru nandana, Krishna consciousness, you have one pointed attention. What is that one pointed attention? I must seek shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. I must achieve a position of eternal service at the lotus feet of Krishna. Or, if this question was asked to Lord Chaitanya, he would say, Prema Pumarto Mahan. The single purpose of life is to love Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya demonstrated that. He had only one concern, how to love Krishna. So, the devotee of Vyartha Kalatvam is always questioning himself, checking himself. Hey, am I in Maya or am I engaged in Krishna consciousness right now? What am I doing right now? Am I doing one of the nine processes of devotional service right now? Or am I, as we say, spacing out? Am I engaging in sense gratification? Devotee's attitude is, every moment must be utilized for the objective Krishna consciousness. Another word here, pramada, one woman. Pramada can also be explained as that which bewilders. And we will see in this chapter how Paranjan becomes completely bewildered by the woman. Completely bewildered. Because by the arrangement of Krishna, they have that facility. Just like in the story of Mohini Murti, the demons and the demigods had both labored very intensely to churn the ocean of milk. But the demons snatched the nectar of immortality from Sri Dhanvantari. But because they were demons, how can you have honor among thieves? So the demons were arguing, now we must distribute the nectar equally, fairly. But amongst demons, these words, equal and fair, doesn't exist. That's not in their vocabulary. So they were arguing, me first. We see this with children also, especially at Christmas time. Me first, me first, me, me, me. Little children are like that, very me conscious. So the demons were fighting. I did the most work here. You know, what did you do? I did most of the work. I should get the nectar first. So Krishna appeared as Mohini Murti. And as just pointed out, Mohini Murti is not Lakshmi. Mohini Murti is Krishna. And Mohini Murti's consort is Lakshmi. So Krishna in the form of Mohini Murti, right? The most bewildering, beautiful form of woman. Most bewildering. And of course, the demons, because they are in bodily concept of life, they are naturally going to be bewildered by this bewildering form of woman. Most, it's the law of cause and effect in this material world. Everything is under the law of cause and effect. So, naturally, by their very demeanor, by their constitution, as soon as the beautiful Mohini Murti appears on the scene, they're going to become completely bewildered. And they said, yes, we want you to decide who should get the nectar first. And Mohini Murti, she is another example of Krishna's cheating propensity. When Krishna wants to cheat, nobody can beat him. So what did Mohini Murti say? Okay, I will distribute the nectar, but no argument of what I do. You accept me, all right, then whatever I say, you have to agree to. And they all agreed. Why? Because they were bewildered. So Mohini Murti said, I'm going to give the demigods just a little taste, just to be nice. I'm going to give most of the nectar to you, demons. But I just want to give the demigods a little bit. But because she came to cheat, she was giving all the nectar to the demigods. The demons were not getting any. Or another example of this bewildering feature of the form of woman. When Putana came to kill Krishna, Putana had that mystic power that even though she was a very disgusting, dastardly, horrible, evil, ugly witch, she had the ability to make herself look like Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And everyone in Vrindavan was bewildered. They said, oh, she must be the goddess of fortune who has come to see Krishna. But then Krishna revealed her real form when he sucked out the life air. Then she assumed the real form. So we must be very careful, very, very careful in understanding things. This Bhagavatam that we're studying is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the same author. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Vedanta Sutra, Veda Anta, the end of knowledge, the conclusion of knowledge. You may have so much knowledge, but the question is, what is your conclusion? What is the end of it? People like to amass so much knowledge. That's all right. The question is, what is the whole point of your knowledge? So you have so much knowledge. What is your conclusion? So Vedanta means the end, the conclusion of knowledge. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is everything that's being taught in the Vedanta Sutra is here in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the end of knowledge in each and every verse of this Bhagavatam, the conclusion of knowledge is being exhibited and explained. and given to us in a very nice fashion. As Shukadev yesterday was saying, that this story of Narada Muni, of preaching to King Pratinibharisat. So he's telling the story of Puranjan, an allegorical story. Yes, because depending on the person you're preaching to, they may not be able to take the straight sauce. We see this a lot, even in modern day, even now. Sometimes it is very difficult to tell someone on their face. Especially, let's say me. Let's say I like to tell people on their face, but when it's on my face, oh, I don't like that. That's the problem. As we sometimes say, yeah, I can give it, but I can't take it. That's not very good. If I'm very eager to give it, I should be equally eager to take it when it comes back on me. So this story of that we're going to be studying for a few chapters now, there'll be a few chapters, this whole, many things we are going to learn. One of them we're going to learn is detachment. Detachment from material sense gratification. That is one of the big lessons that we're going to learn. How this whole business in the material world of the attraction between man and woman, which is the root of the entire material existence, it's all based on this attraction, material attraction for the sex. So this Puranjan story is going to teach us step by step graphically. Become detached. Become detached. Because if you're not detached, then the result will be not so nice, as we will see. Puranjan, one who enjoys in the body. Same thing that's explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2 and chapter 13. That there is something within the body, like the word deha and dehi, or later on in chapter 13, the knower of the field. The body is the field of activities, and the knower of the field, the spirit soul, and then the super knower, Krishna, in the form of Paramatma. So detachment from this materialistic life of sense gratification, sex life, we will learn that because Puranjan was too attached to the woman, he became a woman in his next life. Again, law of cause and effect. And that's one reason why reading these books and distributing these books is the most important activity. Because one should understand what's going on. One should not remain in ignorance. One should know what is the whole matrix, what's going on. And these Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, is giving you the exact details. This is the real feature, the real face of your life. This is one reason why I love Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada doesn't kid around, doesn't placate. He tells you the straight sauce. In fact, now that I remember, the first time I ever read anything by Prabhupada was the pamphlet, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And I remember as I was reading it, I was thinking at that time, I like this, because this person is telling it as it is. You get this sense, you get this feeling from reading Prabhupada. He's telling it as it is, the truth. And then when I finished reading the pamphlet, and I saw that picture of Prabhupada, he's like this. I said, yes, this is my spiritual master. I had friends who were trying to get me interested in this yogi and this swami and this and this. And I remember I would read their things. It didn't make any sense. It was all gobbledygook, nonsense. It was this gibberish, big words and nothing. Soon as I started to read Prabhupada's books, boom, everything was crystal clear. Everything was so easy. And I remember thinking, and I've said this for the past 30 plus years, I've said it over and over again, that when I came in contact with Prabhupada's books, my realization was, this is what I have been looking for all my life, finally. And I lament, why did I have to wait till the age of 22? Prabhupada was here in 65. I was 15. Why couldn't I have found this at the age of 15? It would have saved me so much heartache, so much suffering from the age of 15 to 22. So much heartache, misery, suffering, chasing this, chasing that, trying to fulfill stupid dreams. So much time was wasted. But it comes when it comes. When Krishna is merciful, then you get the blessing of Krishna consciousness. And that's why the devotees who are out distributing, they are the greatest welfare workers in human society. Because they're doing something, the greatest thing, giving someone access to that knowledge which is finally going to liberate them from this cycle of repeated birth and death. In the purport here, Prabhupada mentions how during youth the sex impulse is awakened. But there's another problem, and it'll be addressed in these chapters, that it's not just because I grow old that the sex impulse wanes. Doesn't work that way. Sometimes people think like that. Oh, I'm a youth now. I have this sex impulse. Let me indulge. And when I get older, it will naturally go away. It does not go away. The clubs, dance halls, internet is filled with dirty old men whose sex impulse has not waned 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, still trying to enjoy the beautiful form, pramada, the bewildering form, still trying to enjoy it. And the conch shell confirms. So, I'm going to end my vituperation here and allow 15 good minutes for discussion. Who would like to open the floor for discussion? Yes, Prabhu, wait for the microphone. The microphone is coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go ahead.
You say that time is conspicuously absent in the spiritual world?
Yes.
When Krishna is time.
Time is a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna has many, many manifestations. When we say Krishna, then that one word brings into understanding so much. So that's one reason why we have to study the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga, because Krishna is saying, yes, this is how you can see me in terms of things in the material world. So yes, Time is a manifestation of Krishna, but Krishna is something also separate from time. Our philosophy is achintya bheda bheda tattva. Everything is simultaneously one and different from Krishna. Time is a manifestation of Krishna, but also time is different from Krishna because Krishna is still a person separate from the concept of time. And when we say that time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world, it's because we understand time here in the material world, past, present, and future, and it's making its presence ever so imperceptibly known. But in the spiritual world, everyone is enjoying, everyone is blissful. There's no devastating effect of time in the material world. You look in the mirror every day. Don't kid yourself. You know what you see when you look in the mirror. I know what I see. What happened? What happened? Nikki, what happened? Yes. But in the spiritual world, there is no devastating effect of time. That's what it means. There's no, you don't feel that devastating effect. Does that satisfy you? Okay, Mataji here has a question.
Jai, thank you. Instead of chasing men and women on the outside, is the goal to become like androgynous, to embrace the masculine and feminine on the inside? Because in the Bible it says at the highest realms there are no male and female. And I'm wondering, you know, it seems like with Krishna there is male and female even up to the highest realm. And I'm just wondering if we're not supposed to chase men or women on the outside, if the goal is to balance the masculine and feminine on the inside through yoga, through breathing, through meditation, and, you know, just accept our own androgyny. Is that the goal?
Okay. So, according to Vedanta, actually, we're all female. How are we all female? Because the soul is prakriti, energy. And by definition, Vedanta, energy is always female. So the goal of Krishna consciousness for men and women in human forms is, I am soul. I am feminine. I am meant to exchange love with Krishna. So the goal for whether I'm a human male or human female, the goal is to learn how to love Krishna, the supreme male, the supreme enjoyer. Because everyone is meant to enjoy with Krishna. Now you bring up the interesting point, how in the spiritual world there are male and female forms. That is correct. But it still remains, in the spiritual world, everyone simply wants to love Krishna. The cowherd boys have male forms and they want to love Krishna in a certain relationship, wrestling with him, playing with him, eating with him. But the point remains, we simply love Krishna and Krishna loves us. Or in the case of the gopis, they have spiritual forms in the form of females, and they also want to love Krishna, and Krishna wants to dance with them. So there's an external thing of how the love is exchanged, but the principle of loving Krishna remains. So in Krishna consciousness, yes, internally, we simply want to develop more and more love for Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, prema pumarto mahan. And Lord Chaitanya emphasized that there are 9 ways to develop this. And also what I like about Krishna consciousness, that Lord Chaitanya teaches Love of Krishna is lying dormant in everyone. It's not something extraneous or foreign. Everyone, by nature, should love Krishna. It's our nature to love Krishna. I love this concept. And that's why my preaching is mostly with the Indian community. And many times where I go to preach, I'm the only American in the whole place. But I tell them, it doesn't matter, because I'm convinced of this point, that everyone, American, Hindu, black, white, I don't care who you are, everyone is naturally and there in its inner form is a lover of Krishna. And therefore the goal is, Lord Chaitanya says, to love Krishna, two processes are the most important, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So if we simply do that, hearing and chanting about Krishna, then gradually that love of Krishna is awakened. I love this. I live my life based on this understanding. That love of Krishna is in my heart. It's there. I simply have to get, as I said the other Sunday, jacked up, out of control, fired up. And the way to do that is to nicely every day hear and chant Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Come on. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Archita has his hand raised.
It's a very nice question that she raised. So I want to quote from Prabhupada directly. Prabhupada says in a Bhagavatam lecture, 7th Canto, in 1975, in the Vaikuntha Loka, there are thousands times beautiful women and thousand times strong men. But there is no sex desire. This is Vaikuntha life. Here in this material world, as soon as there is a strong man, as soon as there is beautiful woman, then there is sex impulse. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no such thing because they are so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that sex life is very insignificant. There is no sex life in the Vaikuntha realm. But in this material world, the sex life is the basic principle of pleasure. I just would also like to add, she asked a question about being androgynous. No, there is no androgyny either in this world or that world, because even in this world, when the soul is completely realized, like we have so many acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's not that he was thinking, I'm a human male. No, he knew he was. He revealed in his books that he knew his spiritual form. But still, he acted properly like a human male. He had 10 children. So it's not that he was confused, thinking that, you know, I'm not man or woman, I should walk around in a sari or whatever. No, there is no confusion. You have this particular form as a woman or as a man, and you act accordingly. But you still know what your goal is if you've not yet attained it, or if you've attained it, you know what your spiritual form is, but you still act properly in this world. There should be no confusion.
Yes, I was going to add one more thing, that in March of 1975, in Atlanta, Prabhupada was giving a Sunday feast lecture, and when it came time to questions, I raised my hand and I said, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada said, hmm? And then Tamal Krishna repeated the question. Prabhupada went like this. He went, and he closed his eyes, when you love Krishna. And I take that as the order of my spiritual master. That when will I begin to love Krishna? I love so many things except Krishna. But then I just remember Lord Chaitanya. The process is hearing and chanting. So the more I engage in hearing and chanting, little by little, that dormant love of Krishna is going to be awakened. And that's what I'm living for. I'm living for that time, that moment, when I finally learn how to love Krishna. Because before Prabhupada, my guru sang, all you need is love. But my guru didn't point out who That was the problem. Yeah, all I need is love. But I tried loving Dina and Michelle and Linda, but I always wound up crying. What kind of love is that? But then Prabhupada pointed out, fool, you're loving the wrong thing. Love Krishna. And then it clicked. Thank you, Prabhupada, for showing me who to love. Anything else that we'd like to discuss? Oh, we have a question here, sir. Yes.
Does Krishna call us, or do we call Krishna, as far as that, you know, the first love relationship?
Krishna has been trying to call us for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. Later on in this section, because there's like several chapters, we will hear the account of how the spirit soul who is originally in the spiritual world leaves and comes to the material world. And we will learn that even though we left the kingdom of God, God didn't leave us. He accompanies us. As soon as we leave the spiritual world, He's right by our side in the form of Paramatma in our heart. And Krishna's, it's like, you know, there are so many of these advertisements of the cell phone, and then the cell phone gets cut off. So that's what Krishna is constantly trying to call us on our cell phone, but there's a disconnect. We're not hearing Krishna. Krishna is constantly saying, hello, turn to me, come to me, love me. But we've clicked them off. That's why we need a spiritual master or devotees to remind us, hey, you forgot your, and that will be explained in this section. I'm your old friend, but you have forgotten me. Yes. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness is to once again reconnect, reunite with Krishna. So, as we chant Hare Krishna, read, associate with devotees, and take prasadam, little by little, we're getting that Krishna's coming in. And one day, Prabhupada said, this deity will talk to you. Pretty far out, huh? I'm looking forward to that day. Unless he says, hey, blockhead. But I wouldn't mind. Whatever he says, that'll be great. Whatever he says. Okay? Anything else? Does that satisfy you? So for now, we got to keep calling him. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Eventually, the connection will be made, and then we'll be really, really, really happy. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, sir.